My name is Daniel, and I'm privileged and honored greatly to serve you in this way as a pastor here. I'm glad that you came today. Amen. If you're visiting with us, again, remember we are blessed to have you, and you're welcome continuously. Fill out the information. What I do is I'll just follow up with a letter to celebrate that you came to fellowship with us, and that's really the reason for that. So just put in information as much as you're comfortable giving. Amen. I had an interesting conversation with my daughter this morning. I gave her the money for the offering, and she asked me, "Daddy, can I keep one?" And I said, "No, it's church money." And then she turned and she's like, "Why do we need church money?" And I thought, man, I need to teach her about why we give. And so should you. That as God is bringing you or these children into your custody, you raise them, teaching them why we give and why we do church and why we worship and why we sing and why we pray. Because if they can grasp or capture the reason why they do what they do, it will be of importance to them. Amen. Amen. I want us to go into the Word of God. We will be reading the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. If you want to go there, if you get there, say amen. You see, this morning, by the grace of God, I want to share a message that hopefully and that I am certain that if you can understand, that if you can grasp it, that if you can capture it, that it will be the answer to each and every one of your problems in life. Each and every single problem that you have, you're going to receive an answer today. Amen. Wow, I like going to a church like that. Amen. So, Matthew chapter number 8, I'll read from verse number 13. Rather, let's read from verse number 5 to 13, sorry. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse number 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let us pray. Father, yet again, we stand at your feet. We pray that your Holy Spirit is going to do a work in our lives that is eternal, a work that will stay, a work that will be forever. Thank you so much, because today I pray that, Lord Jesus Christ, even as we share this word, that everybody under the sound of my voice today and even in the future, that, Lord Jesus Christ, their lives will never be the same again. I am believing you for complete transformation. I am believing you for complete healing. I'm believing you for complete restoration. I'm believing you, Jehovah Lord, for completeness in every work that you're going to begin today. Thank you so much for your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will do his work in us today. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. I do believe in my spirit that you're not here by accident. I know that God has purposefully unctioned this time before the beginning of time, that you would come to this place and experience and hear what he has to say to us. Now, the story before us this morning is an interesting story. Because you see, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he enters this city called Capernaum. And as he enters the city, the Bible says a centurion comes to him. Now, if you read this story in the book of Luke, the Bible tells us that this particular centurion was a very, very good centurion. He was, well, one thing I want to make clear is that centurions were soldiers that were in authority. To be a centurion, you had to be successful in combat, hand-to-hand combat, to get that title of a centurion. And being a centurion meant that you had over 100 people under your charge. So this was a boss. He was a boss in the military. He had conquered everything. He had authority of himself. Number two thing to be aware of is that this man was not a Jew. This man was a Gentile. He was an outsider. He was one of the people that were considered by the Jews as dogs, as a people that were not the people. Amen. Now the Bible says that Jesus Christ encounters this man. And as they meet with this man comes to Jesus and he is asking. Now I was saying that in the book of Luke, when you read the same story, the Bible says that this particular centurion was a very, very good Roman soldier. He was very good because the Bible says that he would help the Jews. He had built them synagogues. He had invested in the kingdom of God outside of God. Praise the Lord. He was a good man by heart. Now, number two thing to notice is that he was a very, very good-hearted man. To point out is that he was a good-hearted man because back then, people were not caring for their servants. If you were a servant, you were a slave of some sorts. And so your boss would never care about you. In fact, they would kill you if you were sick. Praise the Lord. They would kill you. They would make sure that you are destroyed forever. If you don't show up for duty, they were required by law to kill you. So this man was a good man. He had a good heart. Because the Bible says that one of his servants, which was considering the circumstances, he should have been a Jewish man who was his servant. The Bible says that he was sick with a palsy. And this man decides to go to Jesus. And the Bible says he goes to Jesus and he starts beseeching Jesus. He starts begging Jesus. He says, "Please, my servant is very unwell." And then Jesus says to him, "I will come and minister healing to your servant." You see, number one, he is a good man. The reputation of this soldier is good. And then number two, he's a senior officer. But then Jesus says to him, "I will come to your house and heal this man." But then this man says something. He says to Jesus, "Jesus, I am not worthy." Now the number three attribute to this man is very, very humble. He says, "I am not worthy that you would come into my house." And then he says the second thing which I want us to pay attention to. He says, "Only say a word. Only say a word and my servant will be healed." And then he explains his sentiment. He explains to Jesus, he says, "Listen, the reason I know that if you say the word, it would make effect is because you are a boss." Ah, don't miss it. The reason I know that if you say the word would be effective is because I know that you are boss. And he says, he explains, he says, "Because I am also one like you, I am a boss. And everybody that is under me, when I ask them to do something, I say to one, go and they go. I say to one, come and they come. I ask them to do stuff, they do stuff. If you ask your word to do something, something will happen." This man recognizes the two things that we are going to talk about this morning. The number one thing that we are going to talk about is the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus. Now, in your bulletin, I have said something. I've said that there is no clear distinction between God and His Word. The Bible says that in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God. That is John chapter number 1. It says, in the beginning, there was a Word, and that Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is no distinction between the Word and between God. Listen to me, child of God. This man recognizes the authority in Jesus, who is the Word. Oh, don't miss it. He recognizes that there is authority in the Word, and that if the Word was to speak the Word, then effect will happen. If the Word was to open His mouth, things happen. Creation of the world was made when God spoke words. This man recognizes the authority in Jesus. And I want to tell you this, child of God, that if today you will choose to say from this day henceforth, I am going to recognize the authority and the power in this Messiah, in this Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible describes as the Word, then your life will never be the same again. If you're going to choose to say today, I choose to believe every single word that comes from the mouth of the Word, then your life must change. Because you see, the Bible has over 300 promises for your life. Over 365 promises, to be precise. Which means that every single day, there is a promise for your life. The Bible says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Listen to me, child of God. God has got a plan for your life. And it's a plan for your prosperity. It's a plan for your growth. And the plan is found in the Word. So which means that for us, we have to understand that there is power, there is authority in every word. In fact, the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. If you can grasp this today, if you can begin understanding the authority and the power in the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand that if Jesus were to say something, it would happen, like this centurion servant, if you could understand that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that every word that you open your Bible and see, that it can have effect in your life must change. And I want to prophesy that if somebody in this place grasps this word and runs with it, I want to prophesy that you will never be the same again. That if you can take the word of God authoritatively and understand the authority in that word, where the Bible says you are healed, you say, the Bible says I'm healed, I am healed. Where the Bible says you've been delivered, you take on the word and say, I am delivered. Where the Bible says I am secure, you take on that word and stand by it, saying, I am secure. Because the words that proceed out of the mouth of God create. The Bible says that Zechariah, he is the high priest. He goes into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. In the Bible, as he's preparing the sacrifice, an angel of the Lord shows up. You see, the angel Gabriel has hung out with God all his life. He hangs out in the presence of the Most High God. He comes to Zechariah and he says, Zechariah, I have a message for you. Your wife is going to get pregnant. And Zechariah says, I don't know, man. We are too old. And I believe strongly that the angel snaps and he says, shut up. Because the angel Gabriel had sat with God, and he knew that every word that comes from the mouth of God affects stuff. It effects change. Every single word, when God says it, it happens. When God says, in fact, child of God, God cannot lie. Because if God were to lie to you today, it happens. Even if he wanted to lie to you, when he says, you're healed, oh, I was kidding. The moment the words "you're healed" come out of his mouth, you are healed. There is authority in every word that God says, in every word that Jesus has spoken, in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, in the words of God that you're holding in your hand right now, there is authority in them. Then Jesus Christ says something. Verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, so this centurion says, only say a word. And Jesus says, verily, verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed. Now, in the Bible, you realize that in the book of Matthew, in the entire New Testament, Jesus marvels about two things. Number one thing, he marvels about this faith of a non-believer, a Gentile. The second thing that he marvels about, that surprises him, to put it in simple terms, surprises him, is the unbelief of the Jews. Bible says he marveled at the unbelief of the Jews when he was entering into Jerusalem. The first place he marvels is here. The Bible says Jesus was marveled. He says, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Now listen. Israel is where Abraham was. The father of faith. My goodness. Israel is where David was. Israel is where, the reference of God is God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of them Jews. Abraham, the father of faith, he was the guy who was like, I am the father of it all. I got the greatest faith ever. And Jesus says, I have never found faith like this man, like this Gentile's faith in the house of Israel. Like the Gentile, this man's faith is bigger than Abraham's faith. Do you know what kind of faith is the greatest faith? The greatest faith is the faith that believes in the word of God without any evidence to support it. That is what this man essentially is saying. This man looks at Jesus and says, only say a word. Only say a word. Only your word. It does not have to be backed by any evidence. It does not have to be backed by anything else. Lord, if only you say a word, healing will happen at my house. If only you say a word, restoration will happen in my marriage. If only you say a word. The greatest faith is the faith that believes in the word, black and white. The faith that says, I do not need any other evidence. I'm going to search my scriptures. And what I find, I shall know it to be true. What I find, I shall know it to be realistic. What I find, it shall come and be effective in my life. What I find shall be what transforms me, what makes me. You see, because of faith, we are able to make the word of God incarnate, as I put down on your bulletin. Because of faith, we can make the word of God live in us. We can be the people, the breathing, walking, living word of God, if we can believe in what Jesus says. Like this centurion, and say, if only I can get a word from the master. If only I can hear a word. If only I can get a word from him. Listen, man shall not live alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man will not live, but by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that is the second thing that we are going to do, is that if you are going to be successful in this life, you have to start having faith in the word of God. Faith in the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says that God is following his word. He is following it so that he can perfect it, so that he can do it, which means that every word that God, you can hold God accountable to his word. Ah. Listen to me. If you go before the Lord and say, Daddy, you said. He says, I did. He can never testify against himself. Which means that my prayer life is changing beginning this date, January the 20th. Because I'm no longer going to pray my words. I'm no longer going to pray my thoughts. I'm going to seek the scriptures and begin praying. Because the Bible says, if you desire and you pray, anything that is according to my will, anything that is according to my purposes, it shall come to pass. Guess what is according to the will of God? It is the word of God. If you're praying the word of God, if you're praying in the scriptures, if you're praying what the Lord has said, it is in the will of God. If he has said it, he has an intention to perform it. If he has said it, he has an intention to do it. If he has said it, he will follow it to make sure that he performs it. Hebrews chapter number 11 verse 1, the Bible says, if you can just go there. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is when you are like this servant saying, you know what? I don't want Jesus to come with me to my house. I don't want, you see, at this moment, if I want my servant to be healed so much, I'm going to be like, Jesus, you want to come with me? Because Jesus is offering. This is the part where Jesus says, I will come. I will come to your house. And this guy says, no, you don't have to come. Just say something. In the moment, if it's Pastor Dan, I'm like, you know what, the Lord, if I go by myself, the people at Rhema won't believe. Come with me. But this man says, I want you to just say a word. Listen to me, children of God. God did not leave us. Jesus says, I will not leave you guys as an orphan. He says, I will leave you with my Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit inspires people to come down with the scriptures that you're holding today. Because the Bible says in the book of Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 that every word, that everything that is scriptural, that it's been breathed by God, that everything that comes from the word of the Bible, from the scriptures is inspired by God, that His Holy Spirit is the one that has put it there so that you can use it. His Holy Spirit continuously works that word into your system, continuously works that word into your life. And listen to me, child of God, the word of God can either stay in the pages of your Bible or it can start living inside of you. Now there is only one key that will open the word, that will make the word jump from the page into your life. It is faith. Everyone that Jesus spoke to, everyone that Jesus healed, the Bible says, he says, I have healed you because of your faith. There is one person when he was unconscious and they cut the roof and brought this man down to Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus looks at this man who could not have expressed his faith. He says, because of the faith of your friends, I will heal you. Listen to me, children of God. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, because without faith, you do not have a key that will activate the Word of God, that will bring to life the Word of God. The Word of God wants to be brought to life, and the only way for it to come to life is if you activate it, and the way to activate it is to apply your faith. We were reading in the book of Acts, chapter number 3, the other day, at the Bible study. Let's see whether we can find that verse. Acts chapter number 3. Verse number 16. This is the part that we studied last week when Jesus, when Peter and ministers to this lame man and he heals him. And verse number 16, verse number 15, this is the part where Peter is giving his second sermon, and he says in verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and you know. And what we pointed out at the Bible study was that the Bible, Peter is trying to explain to these people about Jesus. And he says, this man that you see, this man that has been healed, this man whose life has changed forever, for eternity, this man whose life has been transformed forever, it is because of the name of Jesus. Now what we learned, we separated the two, because the Bible says, because of his name, he has been healed. Okay? And then he says, through faith in his name. Now it is the name of God has power. Okay, Jesus has power. The word of God has got power. But through faith in Jesus, healing happens. Listen, the name of God has got power. Which means if the name of God were to stand here singly, it has power in and of itself. But then the only thing that will activate that power is the faith of the recipient. Which means people can say Jesus many times. They can invoke that word in every situation, in every challenge, in every circumstance. But it will not be effective unless they have faith through that name. Don't miss it. Listen, the name of God has got power. But the true faith, through that name, is when the healing happened to the lame man. Through faith in that name. Listen, the name has got power, but the activity or how to activate that power is if you have the faith. The word of God that you're holding in your hands has got power. Has got a lot of power. Listen, the same Bible you're holding has delivered people from bondage. The same Bible you're holding has healed the lame. The same Bible that you're holding has brought back the people that are dead to life. The same word that you're holding has transformed life over generations, over 2,000 years. But maybe you've been holding it for the last 30 years and your life is still the same. You're still fighting with the same demons. The Bible says, go with me to this book. Pull up the next verse, sir, on the slide. The next one. Did you lose it? It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, verse 1. Hebrews chapter number 4. It should be in there somewhere. Hebrews chapter number 4. If you get there, say amen. Wow, you guys are fast. I was hoping to cheat on this, but Hebrews chapter number 4. I'll read from verse number 1. The Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us to entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now he says the people that were earlier in chapter number 3, verse number 17, 18 and 19. He says the Israelites, the same people that Moses came with from the promised land, they perished, they died because they did not enter the rest. The promise that God had told them, I want you to enter my rest. They were never able to enter it. And then chapter number 4, verse number 2, he explains the reason why they never were able to enter rest. Because you see, God has invited each and every one of us to enter a rest. You see, being in Christ Jesus is the rest that God wants us to enter into. Praise the Lord. Being in Christ Jesus, the moment that you enter into Christ is entering into a rest. Now, does that mean the wind will not blow your way? That's a lie. The wind will come. Challenges of life will come because, of course, we live on this other side of the realm. We still live on earth, which means sickness will come, which means disease will come, death will come. Such things will come in your life. But then when you are in Christ Jesus, it is, in spite of the fact that these things will keep coming, there's a shield, there's a rest, there is a buffer for us. Christ is that buffer. He will buffer us. He will shield us that when the winds blow, that we will not see the same impact as the world is seeing. We will not see the same challenge that the world is seeing as we enter his rest. So he's invited us into this rest. Okay? But then the Bible says that these people that left Egypt, they were invited the same way. The same gospel that we received, the same invitation to enter rest that we received is the same one that they received. And now he's giving a warning here in Hebrews. He says, listen, take care lest you perish like they did. Because they received the same gospel. They received the same word. They had the same Bible. In fact, very dusty in the room. They had the same Bible, maybe read through and underlined everywhere. But they did not mix it with faith. Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is believing the word of God singly without any evidence. Saying, if only I read this, it happens. He says, put your eyes on things, set your minds and eyes on things above. You say, I must set my minds and on things above and my life will never be the same. He says, this man, they received the same gospel. They received the same invitation into rest, but they never mixed it with faith. And so they perished. He says to us, if we are going to be successful, if we are going to be effective as believers, as Christians in this generation that we are living in, if we are going to be effective as a church, if we are going to render any change in our governments, any change in our cities, any change in our environments, any change in our workplaces, we have to read the word. But not just read the word, but mix it with faith. That is what will make it effective. Jesus says, I have never seen. The greatest faith is the faith of believing the word of God as it is. Jesus says a word to you every morning. Every day that you open your scriptures and you look through that word, it is Jesus saying something. It is the Lord saying something about your life. If only we can take that word and say, you said it. It is the answer to every single one of our problems. Every single one of our problems. And I speak this with a lot of authority. Every one of your needs, the answer is in the scriptures. Every one of your desires, the answer is in the scripture. Every one of your prayers, the answer is in the scripture. Because that is the medium that God has given to communicate, that God has given to effect change in this realm. When we mix the word of God with faith, we become effective, we become impactful, we bring a difference into our world. Because when we stand before our Father without faith, then we stand before our Father. The Bible says, do not be a man that is double-minded because you are unstable in every way. When we stand before our Father, when we read our scriptures, we need to be single-minded, where we are saying, you know what, the Lord says, he shall provide me for me. The Lord says that he will never put me to shame, world without end. And as I read that, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, I am believing. It doesn't matter whether Jesus is going to come with me or not. Like the centurion servant, I'm saying, I have read he said that he will never put me to shame. So it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It might look and feel and seem them shameful right now, but I know that he said that he will never put me to shame, that he's going to be glorified in this circumstance because he said a word. How I pray that each and every one of us will wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to run with your word. I am going to be able to live my life according to every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Tell me if your life does not change. Again, as always, come for a refund. Because the greatest faith is when we go before the Father and say, Daddy, because you said it. Because you, Peter, the Bible says that Jesus Christ says to Peter after a whole night of fishing, Peter is a professional fisherman. After a whole night of fishing, the Bible says that they come back to shore and they have captured nothing. And as they're standing there, this man on the shore who has never been on a boat before, he's been making yokes for crying out loud. He's a carpenter and he stands at the edge of the, and he says, you know what? Cast your nets on the right side. And the Bible says that Peter says, Master, you know, sir, we have been out here the whole night, but because you said it, because you said something, I'm going to do it because you said it. How I pray that we will be of the same faith like Peter, where we are saying, because Jesus has said something, I am going to do it. It doesn't make sense to me right now. I've been out here the whole night. I've been in the same workplace for 30 years. But the Lord is asking me to say, because he said I can stay, I will stay. Or maybe he's saying to you, leave your workplace. You say, you know what, Lord, this feels like if I quit this job, man, I don't have my mortgage, I don't have my rent, I don't, but because you said I quit this job, I'm gonna quit the job, because you know that he's the one that has spoken. Your faith will activate the word of God. The word of God has power singly. It has power independent of itself. The word of God, which is the name of Jesus, has power independently. But faith in that name, faith through that name effects change in our realm, in our time, in our lives, in our being. The faith through the name of Jesus. This man says, I am a man of authority. Every time I say, the effect. The Bible says that the word of God never returns to God. Isaiah chapter number 55, it says it will never return to him void of action. It will affect everything that it has come to do. So if the Lord says it, it says, actually it says this way. It says, like the dew comes on the ground and every time there is dew, something sprouts. It says the same way the word of God will never land and go back void of action. So you can have your Bible, read through it daily, weekly. Child of God, if you do not have faith, if you do not mix it with faith, if you do not say to yourself, I believe everything that he's saying. I believe this to be true for my life. I believe this true to be true for my circumstance. I believe this to be true for everything that I do. Then it's void. It's nullified. Our faith will bring it to life. Our faith will make the word of God incarnate, which means that the word will become, will take on a life form. The word will start living. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit of God comes. The Bible says he comes to remind us of all things. Listen to me. You will never be reminded something that you don't know. Duh. You don't know it. How do you remember it? He will remind us what we know. Which means, in the year 2019, we've started this year. In the first week, we talked about getting to the place of death to discover life. Getting to the place of the end to find life. The second week, we talked about the power in prayers. Today, we talk about the power in the Word of God. Listen to me, child of God. You will not, nothing will move unless it proceeds from the mouth of God. Nothing will move. And when it does proceed from the mouth of God, you mix it with faith, it becomes impactful. That is why you see men of God, we see them on TV, amen, that just walk around and people are healed. You see people throwing away their wheelchairs, their crutches in the back of the, because they have mixed the word of God with faith. They know if they say to you, you're healed, you are. They know if they say to you, you are delivered, you are. Because that word has come directly from the mouth of God. The Bible says that if you believe, miracles will follow you. The problem is the churches are so upside down that we try to run after miracles. We start trying to follow miracles. You know, I heard this church has got all these miracles. I'm going to go to their crusade. I'm going to go to their meetings because they are doing all this wonderful. The Bible says they will follow you. It means that it is you waking up and your child is not feeling well and saying, you know what, the Bible says that he sent his word that I may be healed. I pray over you healing in the name of Jesus, because he says here, he sent his word that I may be healed. It's the moment when your wife is not feeling well and you say, honey, I'm going to lay my hand on you. And because the Bible says, lay your hand on the sick and they shall be healed. The sick people will be healed. And you lay your hand on your spouse. It is waking up and your circumstance financially is not working. And the Bible says, he will provide unto me according to his riches in glory. And you say, you know what, you say here that you'll provide to me according to your riches in glory. Father, I am in need right now. Provide unto me because your word says it, and I believe everything that it says. I mix it with faith, and the Bible says it shall be effective if we can be able to mix it with faith. How I pray that this is the first day of transformation for your life, for you and my life. That we are going to say, I'm going to start walking in faith. I'm going to start walking in faith, believing in everything that is in the scriptures. Because everything that is in the scriptures has come from God. That your Bible is not impactful because you can exorcise people by hitting them with the Bible. But because as you read the word, as you grasp its power, you become the word. Your word becomes you. That every time you speak it, it comes from God and it effects change. Stand up on your two feet. Let us pray so we can go home. Amen. I'll repeat this. The Holy Spirit of God will never bring anything to your memory that you don't know. Which means that it's your responsibility to study. The Bible says, study to become an approved servant that does not need to be ashamed, that does not need to be reproved. Study that you may become aware of everything. Which means in the year 2019, in case you did not add this, last week we added prayer to our New Year's resolution. I want to add one more, even as we begin this coming month. I want you to add study, which is not just reading, it's studying. Which means you will invest yourself in the scriptures. Which means you're going to put, and listen to me, child of God. I know there are great books that have been written out. There are great men of God that have written. I've written one myself. Great books. Let them never be a substitute to the word. Let them be something that supports what you're already reading in your scriptures. Invest yourself in going through the pages of the Bible so that the word in the Bible will become a part of your life, a part of your heart. That every time that you're walking, the Bible says, David says, I will meditate upon the word of God day and night. That the meditation of your heart, that the song in your spirit will be the word of God. That everything that is coming from within you is something that is life-changing and life-transforming. That 2019 will be your year of study. That you will invest yourself in the scriptures, that you will say, I'm going to invest myself in the book of John, and I'm going to spend a month just trying to seek. I'm going to read chapter 1 twice, maybe 3 times. I'm going to just read and study until I can find these things. You know, before, a long time ago, somebody told me, if you read the book of Romans, which you're going to find treasure. And I started reading the book of Romans. I started studying, and for a few years, I didn't see the treasure. And then one year, it clicked for me, the grace of God, man, what a treasure, what a what a powerful truth that is seen there in the Word. Many times we stumble upon gems. When we do our Bible studies, we come across this gold that is hidden in the Scriptures. You dig it up and you're like, whoa, that's shiny. It is beautiful when you can study. And when you study, the Bible says, be ye not just a hearer of the Word, but also a doer of the Word. Which means, as you study, mix it with faith and start doing it. When he says, lay your hands on the sick, walk to somebody in the office and tell them, I'm going to pray for you. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't even know whether it will work. But by faith, you're saying, I know it will work because he said it. So because you said it, Lord, I'm laying my hand on this colleague of mine. And when they are healed, remember what they will do. Do you know what they will do? Tomorrow they'll tell you, where do you go to church? I would like to come to church. Then you tell them, no, it's not the church. It is Jesus. And then introduce them to Jesus because you know that the Word works. Amen. Father God, we stand before you this morning. We honor you. There is no one like you. You're faithful in every way and in every account. Yet, Father God, in your wisdom, you have left us with your Word. And the Bible says that you are it. There is no clear distinction between you and your Word, that there is no separation between the two of you, which means as we see the life in the Scriptures, that we are seeing you. We are seeing your heart. We are seeing your attitude. We are seeing your purpose for us. We are seeing you, what you think of us. And Father, as we study through the Scriptures, we see love imprinted on every page therein. And we know that all the thoughts that you think towards us are good, and they are love, and they are prosperous for us. So today, as a church, we commit, Father, to saying, we are going to believe. We are going to walk the talk. We are going to mix it with faith. And that, Lord, only say a word. Only your Word is all we need. It is all we need for every circumstance, situation, every disease, every commotion, every confusion in our lives, every challenge that comes. Only your Word, Lord. It is the answer to everything. So, Father, let your Holy Spirit just pop this bubble inside our hearts today, that it will just cover our hearts and our lives with this gem that you've revealed to us today. And my Father, if there are areas that you want us to understand more, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just continue elaborating as we meditate on these words today. We love you, Father, and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. On the bulletin, at the back of your bulletin, is where we read our benediction from. You are invited to come to Bible studies on Tuesday nights, and prayers on the second Monday of the month and the last Monday of the month. Prayers are really powerful. It's just time between you and God. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless you all.